All right, well, he's been on a beeline for a belt, and on April 20th, he gets his opportunity. It is Extreme Couture's Trent Miller. Trent, it is such an honor to talk to you today, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
So this is going to be your first fight in Utah in 2 years. You found so much success in this very state during your amateur career. How are you excited, and how are you looking forward to coming back to this state?
You know, I tried to get my first pro fight in Utah and it fell through last minute, and that was really disappointing. I'm lucky that they wanted to have me back. So I'm excited, man. I've had great times in Utah. I've had great fights. I've had a war, my second amateur fight in Utah. Like all my fights there have been great, and I'm excited to put on another banger for the fans.
One of the big things I wanted to ask you about is that this is going to be a big step up in competition. Mike Jones is by far the biggest veteran, the largest name, I would say, that you have ever fought in your career. How much are you looking forward to test yourself against someone who has been in there with some really high-level names?
Yeah, I mean, he's got more experience than my previous opponents, for sure. But I train with guys that have tons of fights. I train with guys that are ranked in the UFC, and I spar with them. You know, obviously a fight's different than the sparring match, but I got that experience with those high level guys on a daily basis at Extreme Couture. And it's just another fight to me. It doesn't make a difference whether he was inexperienced or more experienced. Like, I'm ready to go out there and do what I do well and make something happen.
How much do you attribute your counterparts at Extreme Couture to the success that you've had throughout your career?
You know, you got to rise to a certain level there to even hang in the sparring sessions there at Extreme Couture, especially with those with the pros. And there's a lot of guys at middleweight, light heavyweight, and heavyweight at Extreme. I mean, even when Francis was more active in MMA, I was getting rounds with him sometimes. And like, that is an animal. Like, I'm a big, strong guy, but he made me feel like I was not.
Do you have any stories or any experiences with being in there with Francis and training with him?
You know, one funny story, I was sparring with him, and I normally didn't really shoot for takedowns on him just because he's so damn big. But one time I shot a double leg, and it was like picture perfect, ducked under his hook, right in on him, deep on the shot. And I was like, oh my God, in my head briefly, I'm like, I'm about to take Francis down. And I got sprawled on so hard. That guy has such strong hips. I literally just ate the mat face first.
How heavy is he, like the heaviest, just like the strongest person you have ever put your hands on?
I would say so, for sure. You know, I've had my moments against him too, though. Even like when we have grappled, where I've gotten up or been able to do some good things against him too. And I'm like, if I can do that with his big self on me, like some of my own weight won't be a problem getting him off me, you know?
One of the big things I wanted to ask you about, we're talking about Extreme Couture. How did you get started, and how did you get your foot in the door at Extreme? Because if I can remember correctly, you've been with Extreme since the very beginning. Is that fair to say?
I've been with them since I started my amateur career, and like a year or two before that. But I've trained on and off in MMA since I was 14 years old. I'm 28 now. I trained at a few other gyms in Vegas when I was a little bit younger, before I like took the sport super seriously. Like, while I was still wrestling in high school and wrestling in college, I was doing some Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu on and off, a little over at Syndicate, a little bit at Juan Fight Team here in Vegas, back at Tap Out when that was still here. So I've been training for a while. I just, when I got consistent and was like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this my career, and I'm going to take it as far as I can go, that was when I joined up at Extreme and just haven't looked back.
Was there any specific reason why you chose Extreme versus a Syndicate or any of the other, you know, massive gym names down there in Vegas?
You know, like I said, I had experience training at those other gyms in the past. And I also, at one point in time, did do like a trial at Extreme, but for some reason I didn't stick around. But I don't know, I gave it another shot. I knew there was a lot of high level pros there. And I figured if you want to be the best, you got to train with the best. And just threw myself in there and committed to it.
You know, you mentioned you're 28 years old now, been training on and off for 14 years. When you started at 14, did you ever think that you would become a professional athlete and want to take this to the highest of levels?
I wanted to. My family didn't really want me to. I was, I was a straight A student in school, middle school, high school, and in college, I had good grades as well. And like the plan was kind of to be an engineer or do something like that. And I could have. I was pursuing a computer science degree when I first got to UNLV, and then I switched it to business just because I absolutely hated it. I was miserable. I had straight A's while I was doing it. It wasn't a problem like getting the grades. It was more like I just hated my life doing it. I realized what I loved doing throughout that time, even though it was on and off, was training martial arts, pushing myself in that through those avenues, kickboxing and boxing and wrestling. And I loved it. So I wanted to get back to that. And, you know, I have a degree, but I'd much rather get in a cage and punch someone in the face.
How much do you attribute being a good student in the classroom to being a good fighter and a good student on the mats?
That's a good question. I definitely think it correlates. I mean, I'm pretty quick to pick up on new techniques when I'm taught them, and I'm pretty good at listening to the feedback of my coaches. I've been told that I'm a pretty coachable fighter. I've cornered fighters before too and yelled at them repeatedly to do things and they don't listen. But I've been told by my coaches that whenever they tell me to do anything in a fight, that I've listened very well. So I guess it's correlated well to go from being a good student in school to being a good student of martial arts.
I am very in the depths of this MMA world. And so when I see a skit from Nina from the UFC and I see the biggest arms outside of those of Westland, Oregon, I think to myself, that's got to be Trent Miller. And I had to do a little bit of digging with Roman to find out that it was you. How did you get in contact with Nina? How did you end up in all these videos with her? They're hilarious, but also just how did that all come to be?
Yeah, funny that you asked that. No one's really asked me because my face isn't showing very visibly in those skits, like, because I'm supposed to be like a woman. I'm wearing a wig. And yeah, it's they're funny, though. My manager, Roman, set me up with the first skit I did with Nina. And, you know, they liked me and wanted to have me back. So that's why I was able to do that follow up skit with them as well. And, you know, they're good people. I've enjoyed working with them. And it'll be cool when I get to the UFC and then she starts interviewing me and we can probably keep doing more skits from there.
Have you guys become friends? Are you cordial with each other, or is it just kind of like show up, do the thing, and then, you know, leave?
Yeah, we're cordial with each other. We aren't friends in the sense of we haven't really hung out outside of the skits, but we're cordial with each other. When I have fights coming up, she's always sending her, you know, good luck, motivation, like telling me to kill it kind of deal.
One of the big things when you talk about Nina, you kind of got to talk about Sean Strickland, right? I mean, they kind of coincide with one another. What is it like being in the room with someone like Sean Strickland?
I have mixed feelings about Sean Strickland. I like him. I do like, what he's been able to do in the sport. And, you know, I can admire him for what he's done. It's tough being a sparring partner sometimes because he has like a very old school mentality in the gym as far as like we have to push each other to the absolute limits in our sparring sessions every single time. There's not really a flow sparring round if you're going with Sean Strickland, that's for sure.
What is it like in comparison, maybe a Chris Curtis, a Sean Strickland, Francis? I'm thinking of all the big names, Dan Ige, obviously over at Extreme Couture. What are the differences with training with each of them? And do you have a specific bigger name that you like to train with?
I've gotten more rounds in with Chris Curtis than I have with Strickland. And we've gotten good work in together. I've liked training with him probably more just because he's given me more insight into like what he thinks I can do to improve as a fighter. And, you know, it means a lot to come from someone that's a high level like himself. Francis is surprisingly easy to go with without getting injured, even though he's so big and scary. Like, I thought the first time I went with him, he was just going to knock my head off my shoulders, but he didn't. He pulled his punches and landed them, but didn't like kill me, which was nice.
So you've got 5 fights in a matter of 12 months. You've averaged a fight, I believe it's every 74 days over the last 12-month period. How have you been dealing with this busy schedule, and how is your body holding up with constantly being in a camp?
You know, it's nice. I like being able to fight that frequently. I would have liked to take a couple more fights earlier this year too. I was kind of thinking I was going to potentially be on the Ultimate Fighter, and that didn't work out. So I was kind of holding off on taking fights for a few months this year. I'm even when I don't have a fight lined up, I'm training almost like I'm in fight camp. So it doesn't really make my body any more or less injured, I guess, taking more or less fights, because I'm always trying to stay ready. This fight was relatively short notice compared to some other fights. And I almost took one on a week notice a few weeks before that too. It just didn't come to fruition, but I said yes. So like, I'm willing to fight anytime, anywhere, as long as my body's feeling mostly healthy. And, you know, I hope I can get five fights this year.
You know, it's first round finish after first round finish for you. I believe every single fight outside of maybe one has been a first round finish in favor of you. This might be a silly question, but in any way, has the competition been easy for you up to this point? And not talking about the lead up or anything like that, but specifically in the cage, have you wanted, you know, are you finally just waiting for the opportunity to be tested by someone like Mike Jones, similar to how I asked you earlier on?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I've had, even though my competition before has seemed, I guess, like I've won easily, because I did, all my pro fights so far have been first round finishes. My amateur ones in the past all weren't all first round finishes, but all my pro fights so far have been. And, you know, I've faced adversity though. My last fight in LFA, the guy was ridiculously long, was trying to keep me at range with his teeps and his head kicks. And it was very hard to get inside. And that was definitely a struggle. And I ate a knee right to the mouth that split my lip open really good before I was able to get that finish. And, you know, I've faced adversity. Each of my opponents have had a different, you know, puzzle I've had to work through. Whether even if it was an easy first round knockout, there were still different things I had to do. I got a head kick knockout in one of my fights, which that was the first head kick I ever threw in a fight. I've faced adversity. My first professional fight too, I was a little overconfident. I definitely thought I could do whatever I wanted to my opponent and kind of just came out there wildly swinging, thinking that I would be safe. And I ate a hard shot that wobbled me so bad that I didn't even know I was wobbled after I won the fight, because they asked me about it in the post-fight interview. They were like, "You looked like you were in a little danger there. Like, how'd you recover?" And I was like, "I was never rocked. I was fine the whole time." And then I watch it over afterwards and I do like a front flip on the mat trying to like recover.
It's fascinating how so many fighters actually do kind of react that way. They're like, "No, nothing happened." And then it's like, "Oh, I didn't even realize that happened." How much is it difficult to kind of, you know, gauge where you're at in the cage? Or do you feel kind of dialed into your own body when you're in there fighting at this point in your career?
I definitely feel very aware of everything that's going on. Like, and I can tune in and hear my coaches and hear the important people yelling for me during my fights, like in to zone out the rest of the crowd. And I'm very aware of everything my opponent's doing. I feel very in the zone when I'm in there, like in that flow state. When I was rocked in that fight though, I do remember, the thing that I did remember was all of a sudden it felt like I was underwater, like fighting, like everything felt slow motion. And I didn't know why, because it just didn't register in the moment. My body was just kind of on autopilot, like keep swinging.
What was your reaction to being able to fight for a professional title in a place? I don't know if you know about the venue, but this is going to be a large venue. This is going to be one of the biggest shows our promotion puts on all year. What was your reaction to finding out that you were going to be in this big slot?
Oh, I wasn't aware that the venue was going to be so large, but that makes me more excited for sure. My manager Roman, you know, reached out to me and said, they need someone to fill in for this title fight. And I jumped at the opportunity with no questions asked, really. I'm excited. I loved getting my couple amateur titles I did, and a pro title is just going to be even better. And I'm going to have to get like a trophy case or something to start putting these belts in, because right now my other two belts are just kind of stored in the closet, but I'm going to have to put them up on display once I get this third one.
What does a win do for you on April 20th? Have you talked about getting, you know, noticed by multiple promotions, larger promotions and things like that, but this would be your sixth win. Obviously, you're looking to continue the trend of those first round finishes if you are to get one. What does that do for your career in your eyes? Do you think you start to get rumblings from Contender Series or other major promotions?
I'm really hoping that after I get this win, that I can rack up another win or two and get on the Contender Series in the fall. That would be ideal. I definitely think I'm on the right path right now, being undefeated with all first round finishes. I'm trying to stay as the most exciting fighter as I can and keep, you know, getting those highlight reel finishes, whether it's a knockout or submission or whatever. And, you know, I think I'm a couple wins away from making that happen.
Last question from me. What is the number one thing that you are looking forward to on April 20th, making the walk?
Man, just getting in there, getting that cage door closed and just being able to let my hands go. I'm just excited to get in there and, you know, hear that cheer from that large crowd. And I'm getting adrenaline boost right now just thinking about it, honestly.
There is absolutely going to be a war atop the marquee on April 20th, live from the UCCU Center. Trent Miller opposite Mike Jones. Trent, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it, and good luck to you on April 20th.
Thank you, Blake. Appreciate it.